Okay? The wise virgins took the extra oil before it became evident that they would need extra oil, because they knew the bridegroom the way they needed to know the bridegroom in order to hear his voice, in order to be prepared. Okay? The foolish virgins went out to buy extra oil only after it became evident that they would need it. And at that point, it didn't take any spiritual discernment. It didn't take a deep relationship with the Lord, the bridegroom, to realize they needed more oil. Anyone could have recognized the situation by that point. That's why buying more oil didn't change anything. The reason they were buying extra oil wasn't because they were suddenly being led by the Spirit. It wasn't because they were suddenly developing a deeper union with the bridegroom. They were buying extra oil because external circumstances, which anyone could see, now demanded extra oil. That's all. The wise virgins were being led by the Spirit. They had a deeper union with the bridegroom. So they knew to take extra oil before the external circumstances revealed the need for extra oil, you see? The foolish virgins were Christians, but they were not walking as close to the Lord as the wise virgins were. That's all. It's very simple. Their relationship with the bridegroom, the foolish virgins, was deep enough to hear him call them to the wedding, okay? It was deep enough to hear him call away, but it wasn't clear enough, wasn't deep enough to hear him say, take extra oil. So they had a relationship with the Lord. They knew the Lord in one sense, on one level. They knew him enough that they could hear him call them to the wedding. But they couldn't hear him enough to actually enter the wedding. You understand? I'm highlighting this parable again because this message is so, so important to us. There are many genuine believers right now who are waiting to enter the first marriage. They assume they are prepared to enter that marriage. And they are resting in that assumption. But the level of union they are now experiencing with the Lord is not sufficient to get them into the marriage. They know the Lord on a certain level, to a certain degree. They know he's the Lord. They know he's the Messiah. They pray to him. They read the Bible, you know. But they don't know him the way they need to know him in order to go into the marriage when the time comes. That's the issue. They don't know him enough being transformed into his image. They don't know him enough, deep enough, that they're receiving the kind of training that's necessary to rule the nations with him at the end of the age. They know him enough that they're going to be able to hear the call to go out and meet him, but when it comes time, they're not going to be able to actually meet him. They don't know him that good. They just don't know him that deeply. The union isn't that deep, isn't that strong. See, the people are used to getting things done at the last minute. Okay, or arriving someplace at the last second, or getting ready for an occasion to go somewhere, do something at the last minute. But that's not the way it's going to work with the sons of God, with the overcomers, okay? The work that God's going to do in them is going to be done long before the call goes out. And when that call goes forth, that's it. Those who have been prepared, they're going to enter in, and those who haven't been prepared are not going to enter in, all right? God's not going to let people run around like a bunch of nutcases, chickens with their head cut off, trying to get prepared for the wedding at the last minute. Either you're going to be ready when he calls, or you're not going to be ready. That's it. If you're not ready, you won't go in. See, it's like, sort of like Noah in the flood. You know, Jesus said this, the coming of the Son of Man, I think it's in Matthew 24:37, the coming of the Son of Man is going to be as it was in the days of Noah, right? As it was days of Noah. Now, there's a lot of important truths that can be gleaned from that statement. A lot of analogies you can get out of that, what the days of Noah were, how they're like, what they are today. And a lot of good ministers have done, they pull out these truths. But one thing I want to highlight here, okay, one truth that's not too highlighted too much, and I want to highlight right now, is the point, as in the days of Noah, like this. Noah finished the ark, and everyone was settled and locked inside of it for 7 days before the rain finally started. The scripture version of that story isn't like the Hollywood version of the story. If you ever saw the movie, the Bible, where Noah, as soon as Noah finishes the ark, it starts to rain, and he's loading the animals and all the supplies into the ark as it rains. No, that's not the way it went. The ark was completely finished. The animals had all been brought aboard, and they were all fed and settled down in their places. The supplies had all been brought into the ark, safely stored away. Noah's family had entered the ark and were patiently resting in their quarters, and God had shut the door and locked it himself. All right. Then, 7 days later, the rain started. Those who were to be saved had been prepared and were in their place and were ready for a whole week before the judgment started. There will be no last-minute preparations, no last-minute conversions, no deathbed, you know, conversions. That's the way it's going to be. So you can see how important really knowing the Lord is. And just develop a deep intimacy and spiritual union with Him is. Now, there's many ways, many, many ways the enemy tries to hinder us from developing that union. I could go on for hours and hours and hours just by labeling them. Forget explaining them. Just label them. Just listing them. Okay? But I want to just talk about one quick tonight. Real quick here. I'm not going to deep into it. That ways Satan uses to hinder us, to stop us from developing that deep union that's going to be necessary to go into the wedding. And it's one of the most insidious devices he's ever come up with. And it sounds very religious and holy. And it's called the doctrine of sola scriptura. Sola scriptura. It's a Reformation doctrine. Came out of the Reformation. Part of the five solas. Sola scriptura, sola gloria, sola... The Reformation buildings, five solas. I'm not going to explain all that. I just want to say, I have no doubt that the motives and the intentions of the Reformers were good when they came up with this damnable doctrine. But the fact is, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And Satan took what was intended for good, and he turned it into one of the most slickest types of religious bondage imaginable. Sola Scriptura was the Reformers' answer to Roman Catholicism's way of doing business. Okay? The Roman Catholic organization is run on three pillars. Three pillars. It's run on the Scripture, the Magisterium, and Church traditions. Okay? Those are three things that carry the Catholic Church. The Magisterium is the Church's overall leadership, including the Pope. Okay? That's called the Magisterium. And they define doctrine. They interpret the Scripture. You know, they do all that stuff. Okay? The traditions, the church traditions, are a combination of the teachings of the church fathers, the early church fathers, Tertullian and all them, on up, and various Roman bishops, famous bishops over the centuries, who created doctrines and, you know, gave ideas and theories. Okay? And so when Lutheran reformers came out of the church and set up Lutheranism, which is the Reformation doctrine, they said the only thing that's valid out of those three things is the Scripture. So everything we believe, everything we teach, everything we do from now on will be only according to what is written in the text of the Scripture. Sola Scriptura. Okay? The Scripture alone is the final authority in all matters of faith and principle. And that was fine as long as you're only dealing with that specific issue of the three pillars of Roman Catholicism. It was certainly right to reject the Magisterium and church tradition as a basis of our faith and our practice, okay? The problem is the concept of sola scriptura wasn't kept within the framework of the era of Roman Catholicism. It quickly turned into a rejection of the scriptural command to be led by the Holy Spirit. It quickly degenerated into a doctrine of Pharisees whereby believers were forbidden to hear God outside of the Scripture. And from that point on, it was taught that if you want to know God, you can only know Him through the Bible. If you want to hear God speak, you want to hear His voice, you can only hear Him speak through the Bible. And people who promote this error are filled with religious pride, and they're just as deceived as any Roman Catholic is. All right? And I happened to have visited a chat forum, not a chat room, but a chat forum. They discuss different issues, and it runs for several days or several weeks, whatever. I visited this one chat forum run by a bunch of young people. It was very interesting, young Christians. And the discussion was whether or not God still speaks to us. Whether or not God still speaks to people. Okay? And it's amazing to see a number of people who are utterly convinced that God does not speak to us, but only through the Bible. I mean, I know a lot of people who think charismania is taking over the visible church. But from what I can see, it's just the opposite. I've never seen so many people denying that God can speak to us outside the Bible in my life. It's starting to feel very creepy out here, let me tell you. Everywhere you turn, this damnable thing I run into. It's like a wall, all right? Anyway, there wasn't a lot of theological exposition in the posts these guys were doing because they're a bunch of young people, a bunch of teenagers. It was mostly a few key verses and, you know, regurgitated cliches from the fundamentalists. The gist of the comments from those who said, you know, you can only hear God through the Bible was that the Scripture has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And this, of course, is a misinterpretation of what the Apostle Peter said. The fact that so many people misapply that particular passage to defend their sola scriptura error shows just how prone we are to read just what we want to read when we read the Scripture and not what it actually says. Okay, this is what Peter actually said. Whenever you hear that, whenever you hear this thing quoted, we say, the Bible gives everything that's needed for life and godliness. Look at it again. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According to his divine power, hath he given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby we were given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might partake of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through us. Okay, Peter begins by blessing the people. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How? How? Through reading the Bible? No. Through the knowledge of God. The knowledge, knowing God. Okay? And the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Okay? Then he says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through what? The knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. The knowledge of him, the person that has called us to glory and virtue. So you look carefully what's said there. What is it that gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness? It's God's power, and it comes through our knowledge of him, knowing him. I'm not talking about head knowledge, knowing about him. That's not what that's talking about there. They're talking about knowing him personally, having spiritual union with him, having a deep relationship with him, okay? Knowing him. Not our knowledge of the Bible, knowing him, knowing the person. It's Jesus, the person, who gives us all things that pertain to life and God, not the Bible. Let me tell you something, my friends. You can know the Bible from cover to cover and not know Jesus Christ, the person. You can memorize and quote that book verbatim from beginning to end and not know Jesus, the person. I've met people in exactly that position. Just because you know what the Bible teaches, that doesn't necessarily mean you know Jesus, the person. Neither does it mean you know him enough to enter the first marriage. As a matter of fact, I know quite a few people right now who are filled with religious spirits, demons, religious demons, yet they know the Bible inside and out. They have memorized large sections, large chunks of the Bible, and they can pull scriptures together faster than you and I can blink an eye. They have an ability with a scripture that is not natural. Not natural. It came from religious spirits. That's right. It's like they get a counterfeit gift of the Spirit. A supernatural knowledge of the Bible, a supernatural ability to learn it, quote it, teach it, handle it. And that gift didn't come from God, it came from the Spirit of Antichrist. And if and when you run up against one of those kinds of people, you're in trouble if you don't know Jesus. If all you know is the Bible, you're toast. You're going to be deceived by them in a heartbeat. Your Bible knowledge won't help you one bit in that kind of situation because they're teaching the Bible better than you ever could. And their doctrine, many times their doctrine's basically sound. So comparing the doctrine won't help you. Only knowing Jesus, and I have that deep relationship with the Lord, when he can say, hey, there's something wrong here. This guy may quote the Bible inside and out. He may sound holy as Jesus himself, but there's something wrong here. You got to know Jesus that way, that deep. Have that kind of union with him. They can talk to you like that. That's the only thing that's going to help you, and that kind of guarantee you. Now, one of the comments one of these young people made on that forum, he was somebody under this influence, sola scriptura, okay? He said the following, I'm going to quote him. So you get a flavor of what these people are saying. This is the kind of comments most of these people are saying. He said, quote, God speaks, but he's not speaking today as so many claim. He's not telling us what car to buy or who to marry. Rather, he's speaking to us through his word. What is he saying? Many things. He desires for us to love him, not just in word, but in deeds. It is through our living that others will see God's love, and it is through our words that others will come to know our Savior. It's not receiving from God that is the issue. It's not hearing from God directions that's important. Rather, it's us as believers becoming conformed to his image. Freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. Okay, that's what he says. Now he's talking about coming forth in God's image. Okay, this is confusion. That's kind of confusing results from being on this fundamentalist, pharisaical spell of orthodoxy. Right? God doesn't give us directions, like what kind of car to buy, or who to marry. Well, this is why this guy was going to never be conformed to the image of Christ. Never. And you'll never see him at the first resurrection unless he changes, unless he gets his doctrine straight now, gets his view straight now. Because even though he talks good talk, he's not going to be able to walk the walk that it takes to be conformed to the image. Okay? You have to submit every area of our lives, every area of our lives to him, so we can do his will in these areas. We got to be directed by the Lord all the time, 24/7, in our decisions, in what kind of car we buy, and yes, who we marry, for crying out loud. Can you imagine not going to God and find out if it's his will who you marry? You're going to spend the rest of your life with this person, yet he doesn't think God would tell you who you should marry? Well, it's crazy, you know, and just something simple like buying a car. Yes, God cares for us, and he's interested in us. Not as only interested in our losing our life and laying down our will. He's interested in our welfare. You know, just in the car, look at the example of cars. God, when it's time to go buy a car, choose a car, a used car now, I'm not talking about a new car. Most people can't, go out and buy a new car right now. God knows which cars out there in the sales lot or in the paper are lemons and which ones aren't. Now, you go out and buy what you think is best or what strikes your little fleshy fancy, and you're liable to end up with auto repair bills coming out your ear. And believe me, buying a lemon can make life utterly, utterly miserable for a young couple, married couple, who are living from paycheck to paycheck. The difference between a life of hell and a life of, comparable, whatever. So, yes, God does care what kind of car we buy, not only for our own sake, but because he wants us to do his will also. And that kind of talk, God doesn't care. He's not going to give you instructions. He doesn't care what kind of car you buy, who you marry. That's not the kind of good God wants. He just wants you to read the Bible and obey the principles and the doctrines and the commandments of the Bible. That's all there is. I'll tell you, that's Pharisaical garbage. And it keeps people in bondage. They'll never know the Lord. Never will the guy know in a million years will he know the Lord the way he needs to know the Lord to be part of the first marriage. Never. Never. And of course, yes, God speaks to us through the Scripture. He speaks to me through the Scripture. I go to every week, and what do I talk about? What do I expound? I expound the Scripture, okay? But that's only about 20%. God talking to you through the Scripture is only about 20% of the total of the ways he can talk to you and lead you and guide you in this life. So if you're saying we can only hear God through the Bible or know God through the Bible, the fact is you're cutting yourself off from the other 80% of life that's available to you as a Christian. Sola Scriptura may sound pious, but the truth is it's a doctrine of demons. It's a doctrine that came from hell, and it's being used to keep multitudes of God's people from really knowing the Lord the way they need to, from knowing the Lord in a deep, intimate way. That's right, I'm saying Sola Scriptura is going to be the cause of multitudes missing the wedding. And I have no doubt that the Sola Scriptura crowd, they'll still be waving their Bibles in the air and quoting chapter and verse long after the door slammed in their face. And that's how utterly blind and deceived they are. They're so blind and religious and arrogant and deceived. Even if the door shut in their face, they'll be out there waving their Bible, quote Jesus, chapter and verse. I guarantee it. Now, there's another guy on that forum, a young man, young teenager. And his name is Wesley. And he wrote the following comments, and I was so blessed when I read it. I just thought, I'll share it with you guys and see if you get blessed. Okay, his name's Wesley. And it's about three quarters of the way down that all these people are saying, the Bible, you can hear God through the Bible. And the Bible has everything you need, it's the life of God. And so about three quarters of the way down, it's about 25 or 30 comments down, Wesley comes in and he says, quote, "Hello all. I am a born-again Christian who has been saved for the past 3 years and 8 months. For the first 3 years and 4 months of my Christian life, my prayer life was sort of all one-sided, me speaking to God. Sometimes I would receive a scripture dealing with what was going on in my life, and I would believe it was God communicating with me, and I still do believe that he does speak to us through the scripture. About 4 months ago, I started to receive answers to my questions I had for God. When I refer to a voice, I'm not talking about an audible voice, but an inner voice deep in the heart. Please do not misunderstand me. I'm not saying I hear audible voices, because I do not. But I am aware of a voice deep in my spirit. And God had told me not to believe every voice or thought that I hear. I try all my thoughts by the word of God. I use the King James Version, and I will never put direction from my spiritual communion above the word of God. The word of God is concrete, solid, pure, and without error. Nevertheless, my prayer life has been really enriched by my present communion with the Lord, whereas before prayer was so hard. But now I spend hours alone with God. I do not believe I have a higher anointing than anyone else, but I believe God wants to have a real relationship with every one of his children. I mean, God is a personality, and his human creation are personalities. Personalities interact with each other through various means, and one is conversation. Believe me, I was initially shocked when I started to hear his voice, and I did not believe it was God straight away. But my prayer life has gotten so much stronger in the past 4 months, and I am closer to God than I have ever been. I have so much to learn about God, and I'm excited because of what God is doing in my life. My advice is this: honor the word of God above everything else. Do not believe anything that contradicts it, and when you go to prayer, make sure your number one goal is not to receive blessing or even to intercede for people, but make sure your number one goal is Him, to meet with Him. Just make Him, His personality, everything. Just set your heart solely on connecting with Jesus Christ, the Almighty, and worshiping and adoring Him for who He is. End quote. And praise the Lord. Now, there's your candidate for the marriage. All right. I have no idea who this young man is. Don't know him at all. But I'm going to be praying that God continues to lead him to the fullness of salvation, because he's on the right road right now. He's learning how to know the bridegroom the way he needs to know him. At the same time, it's tragic that this young man was in such a state of religion that when God actually started speaking to him directly, he was shocked. Okay, he was shocked. He didn't think it was possible. And he couldn't even believe it was God when it first happened. So it was a trick. That's the state he was in. That's the influence of orthodoxy, doesn't it? You can't, even when God does start talking, you can't believe it's God. You're shocked. I mean, I don't know if you can begin to see how damnable this sola scriptura thing is yet. But I've seen it. Being led directly by the Spirit, hearing that inner voice of the Spirit, receiving the checkings of the Spirit, following the peace of God, exercising the gifts of the Spirit that you've been given, communicating with God directly two ways in prayer. All these things are the inheritance of the saints, people. They're our inheritance. It's our birthright. They are our birthright. It's not something that's just for a few special ministers who are real high and mighty apostles or prophets, all right? These things are ours, yours, mine, by divine right. Dear God, why do we let Satan steal what is rightfully ours? Why do we let arrogant, deceived Pharisees rob us of our inheritance and we do nothing? Listen, if you have believed the sola scriptura era, or you've endorsed it, I'm going to tell you right now, you need to get down on your knees tonight and beg God forgiveness, because you've been part of Satan's scheme to not only rob God's people of their inheritance in this life, but in the next life as well. You've been part of a demonic plot to make the saints unfit for the marriage and unfit to rule with Jesus in the coming kingdom, unfit to be made in his image. And ask God to deliver you once and for all from the influence of this sola scriptura lie. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." John 10:27. The Lord's talking about a direct, personal relationship there. He's not talking about an indirect relationship through the Bible. If you can't be led by him directly and hear his voice directly, then you're never going to be fit to be his wife. Never. So if you want to be part of the first marriage, if you want to be fully transformed into his image in this life, then our relationship with him is going to go a lot deeper than just reading and studying the Bible. Okay? We're going to come to know Jesus outside the Bible and learn to hear his voice outside the Bible and be led and guided by him outside the Bible. If that sounds like heresy to anybody, it's because you're still in the influence of Satan's sola scriptura lie. That thing is a lie. It was never true. And it's being used by fundamentalists and Pharisees to keep God's people in bondage to the dead letter of the word. So they don't know Jesus. They never develop that deep, deep union with him. And they're going to miss the marriage. They can't follow his voice. They're scared to death to follow his voice. They're not scared to death to accept all that false doctrine. Their just mind is filled with doctrine. Reading the Bible, studying the Bible. And that got them all that false doctrine. They're not scared of that. They're not scared of the eternal security lie. They're not scared of all the other garbage they preach as lies that they got from hearing Jesus through the Bible. The only thing you're scared of is hearing God directly. And they try to put that fear in everybody they come in contact with. They try and scare you to death. They try and scare everybody they come in contact with to never hear the Lord's voice, because you're going to get deceived. You're going to follow the wrong voice. They're damnable people. And they're being used by Satan. And they go weep and gnash their teeth when they stand before God, when they see what they've done to God's people. Stole the inheritance from them. Stole their birthright from them. In the name of piety. In the name of sola scriptura. It's a lie, people. It's a lie. Anyway, that was my burden last week. There's a lot of people going to miss the marriage because of that false doctrine they're preaching. They'll follow that doctrine to the ends of the earth, but they won't follow God's voice. And it's a damnable heresy. It's not righteous. It's not godly. It's not holy. It's not sanctifying anybody. It's making it part of Satan's plot to overthrow the saints. All right? Alrighty. Sorry for getting a little upset there, but when I see what these people do to God's people, how they're keeping them from the wedding, they're keeping them from being prepared. And once they find out, it's going to be too late. Once people realize what's going on, it's going to be too late to stop it, too late to change it, too late to make it right. Amen. Okay. Anybody have anything to share or add or whatever, ask or anything like that? I get, I don't know. I just get to throwing fits when I see things that are depriving God's people of their inheritance, taking them away from what God has for them, stopping them from making the goal. That thing, you know, just makes me go into orbit. You know, I can hardly contain myself. I want to jump up and down, punch the screen, punch the desk, punch somebody, you know, because you can't punch Satan. He's invisible. Amen. Looks like we got Sister Sissy. Go ahead, Sister Sissy. You got the mic.
Hi, Dan. Hi, everybody. Hope everybody can hear me. This was an awesome teaching tonight. The Lord really has brought me out of so much of the error that, you know, comes from years of, I call it indoctrination, if you will. But one thing that I thought about, and I remember asking my son this one at one point, because he was caught up in this error too, and I've been dealing with him on at this level also recently. One thing I asked him one time was, tell me, you know, for example, the saints of God in places like communist China, they're imprisoned. They have no Bibles. How do they hear from the Lord? And he had to respond, and he had to answer. Well, obviously the Lord has to talk to them directly. Well, hello, yeah, that's exactly right. And I really believe that, whether you realize it or not, Dan, that you're preparing God's people in this room for the time when we may not even have the Bible. You know, years ago, they used to tell us, oh, you need to memorize the Bible, you need to memorize Scripture. Well, yeah, the Lord will bring these things to our remembrance, no question about it. But, man, we do need to hear from Him, and we need to hear from Him directly. And He is the Shepherd, and we need to hear His voice and follow Him, no question about that. And I just thank the Lord. I just thank the Lord for this room, and I thank you so much for your honesty and forthrightness, because that really is lacking so much in the church today. Thank you, everybody. God bless you.
Anyway, thanks a lot, Sister Sissy. Thanks for sharing. Amen. Anything else? Anybody have any? Don't want to shut her down too early if you have something to share or anything to say. Alrighty. Well, God bless you all. And I guess we'll see you next week. God willing, and the river don't rise. Be good.